Our loving Father, help us now so to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Christ our Lord. Amen. At this moment in this beautiful evening, I am mindful of the advice that the comedian George Burns gave to preachers one time. He said, if you want to preach a really good sermon, have a good beginning, a good ending, and make them as close together as possible. I am also reminded of the advice that a mentor of mine gave on how to preach a good sermon. He said, at the bottom of every sermon, write two words. So what? What do all the words mean for us in the challenges and opportunity of the coming week? What do all the words mean for us as we struggle with trials, as we seek to discern meaning and purpose in our lives? So what? So with those two voices in my ears tonight, I'm going to try to put the beginning and ending as close together as possible and see if I can address this important matter of so what. Some years ago, I was teaching a class on baptism, and a very perceptive young man asked me, in essence, it was a so what question. He said, so what does it mean for us today that Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago? What does it mean for us today that Jesus was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago? So what? And to address this very critical question on this glorious night of resurrection, I want to zero in on this scripture reading that we have from Romans chapter 6 and baptism. I see it essentially as a passage that deals with our identity, that we have been crucified with Christ, we have been joined unto him in his death, and we have been joined unto his new resurrected life. It is a question of identity, who we are. Now, when I was a young man, we were always saying of somebody that he was trying to find himself. Drop out of school, oh, he's trying to find himself. He's going to India, he's trying to find himself. He's hitchhiking across the country, he's trying to find himself. I find that in Paul's letter to the Romans here in chapter 6 that we are finding ourselves. We are finding who we really are. We are finding our identity as we are united with Christ in his death, his resurrection, and his life. I want to point out something that's really obvious in the text, and that is that Romans 6 follows Romans 5. In Romans 5, in verses 12 and following, we learn of our previous identity in Adam. When I was born, like you were born, I was born dying because I was in Adam. I was born without anyone needing to teach me how to be selfish, how to be prideful, how to be resentful. It just came naturally to me because I was born of the race of Adam. We see that in Romans chapter 5, that was our identity. That's who we were. And then here in Romans chapter 6, Paul introduces us to our new identity, that we have been baptized into that last Adam. We have been baptized into Jesus Christ. We have been joined together with him. And we find who we really are. We find our identity. One of the interesting things I find about Romans chapter 6, that the translators have left a word untranslated. Did you know that? They do not translate the word baptize. They transliterate it. They transcribe it from the Greek alphabet into our English alphabet. It's the word babto, which in the ancient world, it had no religious connotation. You look up in any ancient Greek lexicon, New Testament as well, a New Testament lexicon, and you will see that the word babto has two major meanings. It means to dip, and it means to dye, that is D-Y-E, to color, to stain something. It was a word that was oftentimes used of the fuller's trade, that is, a person who works with cloth. As a fuller would take a piece of unbleached raw cloth and dip it into the bleach, and then dip it into the dye, and it would have a new appearance, it would have a new identity, and it was said that it had been baptized. It had a new identity. That's the word that Paul is using here. That you and I, we were once identified with the sin and death of the race of Adam. And now God, through his marvelous saving work, has identified with us with, he has baptized us into the death and life and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we're celebrating here tonight. What happened on Good Friday 2,000 years ago? What happened on that first morning, day of the week 2,000 years ago? We are joined with Christ in that. We have been given a new identity. We have been, and they left it untranslated, we have been baptized into him. We have been identified into him. I love how the Apostle Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 2. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That makes everything new because of our new identity in Christ. And then in Colossians chapter 3, he says, when Christ, who is our life, you hear that? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we will appear with him in glory. Jesus lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death that we should have died, that he might impart to us his very life and glory. So that the Christian life is not so much an imitation of Christ as it is a participation in his very life. We are baptized into him. That's our identity. I want you to notice another very interesting thing in Romans chapter 6, that in Romans 6, we have the first imperative in the entire book. We have the first command to do something. The previous chapters, Paul has told us what God has done. It's about him. It's about who he is. It's about his saving power and a marvelous display of what God has done. Much like what we've heard in the several scripture readings tonight, that God is our Savior. The focus is upon him. And it isn't until chapter 6, verse 11, that we are commanded to do something. He says in verse 11, "So you also must consider," the Greek word logizomai, it has an idea of some mental effort to ponder, to think, to consider. "You also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." What are we supposed to do? We are to consider. We are to give serious thought to what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, that he has joined us to himself in death. If any person is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past. It's gone. He has identified us with Jesus Christ in his death. To all our guilt, to all of our past, to all of our shame, that we are then identified with Jesus Christ in his very life. We speak of it as being adopted into him. Several years ago, I was on the board of the Christian Family Care Agency, a wonderful ministry of adoption and family care here in the Valley. And one time I happened to meet this young family, and there were two wonderful little boys. They were about 4 to 6 years of age, the two guys. And one of the little guys said to me, he says, "One of us is adopted, but I don't remember which one." That told me a lot about the love and care that he had received. In a sense, as Scripture says, to consider yourself dead unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ, God almost wants you to forget which one of us is adopted. Consider to know that, as Karl Barth said, God did not want to be God without you. That God would rather die than to be without you. He sent his Son into the world to die and to take all of your sin, all of your guilt, all of your shame to himself, that you could cry out to God, "Abba, Daddy, Father." That's our identity. That's who we are. That's how we find ourselves. No more searching around. I know who I am. I've been crucified with Christ, and I have come alive in him. I was thanking Chris earlier for the privilege of having preached the first Sunday of Lent. Now finishing up, and the first Sunday in Lent, it was about Jesus' baptism. That Jesus, in his baptism, identified himself with you and me as sinners. John, remember John the baptizer said, "Oh, no, you shouldn't, no, I should be baptized by you." And Jesus says, "No, I do it to fulfill righteousness." The baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus was baptized to identify with you and me in our lost cause, that he might bring us to God. And there at that baptism, as Jesus came up out of the waters, he heard Abba Father say, "You are my son. With you I am well pleased." And because of yours and my identification with Jesus, hear tonight the words of Abba Father. "You are my daughter. You are my son. With you I am well pleased." And that is the gospel truth, because we have been united with Jesus Christ. No longer the identity of Adam, but the identity of the very Son of God. Oh, dear Jesus, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen.